But it can be said that actually, if you're mindful about your drinking, you can ensure that your health will increase dramatically. In fact, a recent survey suggests that 40% of the 8 million who took part in Dry January did so because of expectation to drink in the UK. We're delighted now to be able to welcome Britain's leading mindful drinking expert on advice on how to actually avoid that pressure to kind of feel you have to drink to break the ice and so on. It's the fabulous Laura Willoughby, MBE, founder of Club Soda. How are you, Laura?
I'm great, thank you.
Marvellous. Now, that whole line that I've often been saying, indeed, from the days when I was an undergraduate back in the 80s, where you kind of think, oh, actually, sometimes using that notion that, oh, you need an icebreaker, you need to actually sort of celebrate this, you need to work through that, etc., it's not necessarily the best way forward for our health and well-being, is it?
No, not at all. And if you think about it, meeting new people should be a wonderful experience, and we tend to dull it by drinking and actually learning to socialise without alcohol, or making sure that you've got a really nice tipple at home to drink that isn't alcoholic, makes a real big difference.
Now, this particular survey, which obviously comes out from the work of Robinson's, again suggests that actually, if you actually eliminate that pressure to drink, that peer pressure and so on, it's actually more effective than raising taxes and indeed educating people on alternating with non-alcoholic drinks. And indeed, certainly the one thing why don't we want to go back to the given the United States experience with prohibition, the total banning as well, not necessarily the best way forward.
No, not at all. And we've got over 15,000 members in Club Soda. And the one thing they talk about is, you know, that peer pressure, how they talk to their mates, how they avoid a persistent friend who's continually asking them to drink, and how they deal with that pressure at home with their partner as well. So if you're drinking at home, what is it you switch to? Do you switch to a cordial like Robinson's? Do you get an alcohol-free beer? Do you find a new favourite tipple so you can take out some of those units from your week?
We know a great deal about mindfulness and the notion of actually being in the moment. Is it a similar technique that you apply to mindful drinking, just literally ensuring you know what you're putting into your body?
Definitely. And it's about planning if you want to drink, when you're going to drink and when it's the most important for you, and taking out all those times when actually you're just doing it out of habit, or you're doing it because you just do because everyone else is doing it, and really think about the times that you want to drink alcohol and find something else to replace that on those other days. And you'll soon find that you can reduce the amount of alcohol you drink and feel healthier as a result. Good night's sleep is worth its weight in gold.
Are we still in a situation where pubs, clubs, businesses and so on tends to charge either equal rates for soft drinks, or indeed sometimes, in some cases, even higher?
Yes, there's a little bit of an issue about economies of scale. So some of the really nice craft drinks you can buy in a pub or bar, you know, they really are worth the money. They are sippable. They will get you through the evening. You won't get a hangover. And that's actually worth quite a lot if you think about it. But yes, definitely, they can't churn out as much quantity as some of the beers do. And so you'll find there's a slightly higher price. I have to say, I've got a really sneaky trick, which is that I take a small shampoo bottle of my favourite cordial to the pub with me. And then if they've got fizzy water, I just pimp my own water.
Laura Willoughby, MB, I'm astounded. Still, never mind. Let's look at the top five tips that you've put together for actually successfully moderating alcohol consumption. The first one is actually ensuring that you are pretty much using tough love on yourself.
Absolutely. You can really easily, if you say, that's it, I'm moderating, if you just say, oh, I'm moderating, and don't put any plans in place, any rules for yourself in place, you'll soon find that you fall by the wayside and you find you're drinking as much as you were before. So definitely be tough with yourself.
And that whole notion of planning and preparation, it can actually pay dividends in terms of actually achieving the goals.
Yeah, and if you've got a persistent mate you know that you're going out with tonight, then think about what you're going to say to them and say it with confidence. Even practice saying it in the mirror. It sounds weird, but the more confident you are, no mate, sorry, I'm not drinking tonight, I'm on an alcohol-free evening, then the more likely you are to stick to your guns.
And you don't have to just be the designated driver to be on an alcohol-free evening.
Don't be the designated driver.
Exactly.
You have to wait for all the drunk people to be ready to go home.
Oh, well,
it's really boring.
Precisely. Robinson's creations and cordials clearly are a wonderful grown-up squash option for things from that. I tend to be somebody who goes for the still mineral water, personally.
Whatever you find's best for you. But sometimes you want something that's got a little bit of flavour with it, might go with your food. I really like the Robinson's mint and lime one, because muddle that with loads of ice and some mint leaves and you've got yourself a mojito. So whatever floats your boat.
Intrigued by the notion of making the first two drinks alcohol-free, which ensures that you can consider the rest of the evening with a clear head.
Definitely. And people start repeating themselves after the second drink. So you can go, right, is this an evening where I'm going to stay and I'm enjoying? It's amazing how often we drink to stay in an event we're not enjoying. And really, if we're not enjoying something, we should go home.
Well, again, eminently sensible advice. The final line of making the night go longer or last longer, which is a good way forward. How would you actually sort of endorse that?
So I don't only talk about not drinking. It may be that you want to lower your ABV. There's some really great beers out there that are 2.5%. There's some wines that are 8%. You can have singles rather than doubles. If you think about your evening as being something you want to be sessionable rather than getting as drunk as quickly as you can, then you can make different choices about making each drink a lower ABV than you normally would do. So make sure the bar staff don't pressure you into having a double just because it's better value for money.
Clearly, in terms of hashtag mindful drinking, that's the place which will take you through social media, as well as at LC Willoughby and at Drink Robinson's. Are there any other websites you'd recommend, Laura, in terms of finding out further details either about mindful drinking or indeed the things we've been talking about today?
Yeah, do go to joinclubsoda.co.uk. You'll find a massive community of people all changing their drinking, and you'll get all the advice you need.
And your liver will thank you for it, I can guarantee. Laura Willoughby, MBE, founder of Club Soda, many thanks indeed. Is she right, though? Let's find that out by testing it with three undergraduates in their final year, so they'll probably be heading off for all sorts of celebrations as well in the not-too-distant future. Hannah, alcohol? Can you be alcohol-free and happy?
I say you can.
Of course, mainly
because I don't really like the taste of anything
exactly.
that tastes of alcohol.
Exactly. That Martina Vieca tries to corrupt you.
Yeah, she's corrupting
me. She's Polish.
Me, but...
she's just stay away. I mean, how long did she actually last within the Madrid?
She's a very busy girl, you know. She's got so much work.
Aren't we all then? And... Well, obviously not. But, Barney, are you a drinker?
I enjoy a beer. Yeah, absolutely.
Whilst performing?
I had a beer last night. It was very tasty, actually. A three hop. Yeah, delicious.
Tessa Snart, when you're sat or say outside the studios, say it's all right. I knew what you meant, basically, when you're outside the studio and there's no one say at the computers. Are you a consumer of alcohol?
I'm partial to a good cocktail, but I can't say I'm the biggest drinker in the world. I quite like my tea.
Tea's good.
Yeah. That could, of course, be the quote of the year, Tessa Snart. I'm partial to a good cocktail. We'll leave it there, because coming up next, we've got SFX editor Richard Edwards joining us. We've got Paul Zollo, singer-songwriter extraordinaire and music journalist. He might have some advice for Barney. And again, he may not. We've got more Barney Packer stuff coming through as well, musically speaking. And we've got writer, actor and producer Philip Hurdwood. All this on the Midrick Drive. You gotta move faster. There's more science fiction and fantasy television and movies around than at any time in history. But even the screen struggles to compete with books when it comes to variety. Publishing is one of the most vibrant and creatively prolific areas of the genre. A medium unbounded by production budgets or technology. So much so that this month's edition of SFX is completely devoted to books, books and more books. Yay, go Richard Edwards. Even Bonnie Tyler is just, she's gone into ecstasy at this. How are you, Richard?
I'm good, how are you?
Excellent. I always feel it's important that if you really want to hype something up that's even more exciting than the fact that 24 hours ago Barney Packer was actually on stage somewhere in Lincoln, and I did say to Heather we'd actually promote the concert after it had happened. No, you're kidding. It's kind of like reverse PR. See what we did there, Barney? It's time travelers. So you should have been there, worked through that whole process and work on that premise. So we have musician Barnaby Packer in the studio. And we also have Tessa Snart, who will gradually be weaning into some sort of science fiction area, although she fights against it, you know, consistently. She'd be introduced to Sam Stone, the whole range of other...
I love Sam and David, though. I think they're brilliant.
Well, they think very highly of yourself. And we've got Hannah Brown, who thankfully was converted a good few years ago and doesn't show any signs of actually stepping away from the genre in any way, shape or form. Richard, here we sit on this awesome day where there are so many changes in the sky that it's just quite unbelievable what's happening out there. I don't know if you've noticed the blood red moon at all. Never mind, I'm sure it'll actually make Bath in some way, shape or form over the whole sort of peak, the whole sort of sequence. Even my computer's deciding to actually freeze up on itself.
It's actually more sort of white at the moment.
Yeah.
White and normal. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, never mind. The reason, or one of the reasons, apart from the fact that books are good and we love to promote them, that SFX is having a full books issue is, in the not-too-distant future, we have got an SFX book convention taking place in London. Tell us about this Charing Cross store event, this Foyles Charing Cross event, or should I actually say Charing Cross? I've never sort of quite sussed out that. Some people say it's Charing Cross, other people say Charing Cross. Maybe it's a northern thing. But Richard, why are the whole group of fine folk from SFX likely to be decamping and making their way for this event? And probably even more exciting things.
Okay, well, we're basically hosting, we've partnered with Foyles, the famous bookshop, to put together the SFX Book Con. So it's going to be an afternoon basically devoted to authors. So there's going to be a couple of panels, going to signings with a load of top authors. So we've got Richard Morgan, who wrote Altered Carbon, which is the book that the new Netflix series, which comes to Netflix on Friday, is based on. Which is, I haven't watched it yet, but
it is the series. In the words of, in fact, one of your predecessors, actually one of your former, the equivalent of former Doctor incarnations at SFX magazine. Oh no, it actually wasn't Dave Gilder. I believe it was actually Ian Berryman who actually turned around and said that if you want the series already for this year, then it has to be the one and only Altered Carbon. Have you come across Altered Carbon, Hannah, at all?
Possibly. I have been watching a few trailers recently for new things on Netflix, some of them sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly if I've seen that one.
Well, the official line is that you can download yourself into another skin and live forever.
Yes, I watched that trailer, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, the richest guy around basically is murdered, but he then hires someone to find out who killed him.
I have seen that one, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks very good, I have to say.
200 years ago, of course, Barnaby, we were celebrating the first of your musical choices. No, I'm just kidding. It was actually the launch of Frankenstein. Written 200 English years ago.
Wow.
And that is the heart of Joseph McCame's article for this month's SFX magazine, the story behind the SF and fantasy of yesteryear. Is it fair to say, Richard, that ultimately if it wasn't for Mary Shelley, and as we were just talking in the first part of the programme about women in the arts, Gemma has now walked out. Sorry, they parted in good company. It wasn't because they realised that they couldn't cope with Tessa Snart in the same studio. Likewise with respect to Melody. But in terms of that, is it fair to say that Mary Shelley really launched what we refer to as the modern vogue of science fiction? I mean, Brian Aldiss always maintained that Frankenstein was the first ever science fiction novel. Where do you sit on that one, Richard?
I think that's a pretty fair thing to say. I mean, obviously there have been books, stories that have been told that were fantastical and stuff. But I think, Frankenstein is so science fiction. You know, it's about a scientist doing scientific things. You know, he does scientific research and he creates life from lifelessness. Yeah. I mean, that is pure science fiction. And I think it's the first. I mean, I don't know if she necessarily launched the genre, because I mean, it didn't really get into full swing for a while after that, and I suspect someone else would have written something otherwise, but I think it's definitely, you know, it's incredibly groundbreaking in just being the I think the first genuine one.
Barney, ever considered writing a song about Frankenstein?
Yeah, I mean, why not? He's a great scientist.
I think that's what we're looking for in the Artists of Tomorrow. If you want to go to Twitter, in fact, I'm surprised how few likes, actually only 1,600 likes, well, 1,690. A rare lunar trilogy of a supermoon is taking place 2 hours ago, as a supermoon, a blue moon and a lunar eclipse occurring simultaneously for Australia, Asia and parts of the United States and Eastern Europe. So be aware, strange things are actually happening up there, which is why, clearly, Richard, we have to feature your good self for all manner of wondrous reasons. I was really impressed with the fact that there are two Midweek Drivettes, even though they didn't admit to being Midweek Drivettes in print, but they've been on the show not quite as many times as Richard, but they've done a fair number. John Gerald, publisher, and indeed Adrian Tchaikovsky, both featured in the book area. And you've really actually gone to town on what I would venture to suggest is actually the ultimate guide to how to get published if you're a young, budding writer.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I mean, that's what we were really going for. I mean, it's like we just want to get as many voices as we could in there, you know, just to sort of cover all sorts of areas. So we've got new writers who are talking about how they went, you know, how they got signed, and almost just finding the discipline to write a novel, because that's really hard to do. You know, lots of people have got the idea and lots of people start, but very few people actually finish a novel. So that was important. We've got, you know, agents and publishers, you know, what are they looking for? Even just how an author can make themselves noticed on social media, or if there are other routes, you know, because some people self-publish. Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian, I mean, he self-published before that, you know, became a hit. So, you know, there's all sorts of different ways.
And indeed, you actually address those aspects in every manner of wondrous ways. But before we actually pass through the whole notion of how to get published, etc., it's fair to say, Richard, that you got a bit of flack yourself. And I'll pass this over to the team in a few moments. But I thought you dealt with it very, very capably and appropriately when it comes to the whole notion of how do you cope with irate readers who write something in. In particular, shall we give them a name check to this person who actually sort of wrote in? I mean, we probably never invite them on the show, but you know, it gives them a bit of immortality, I suppose, as well as being
in the page.
Okay, David Cookson. I wouldn't mind seeing the next Star Wars film with your reviewer Richard Edwards, who boldly states that The Last Jedi is the Star Wars film we wanted. I don't know who "we" refers to, but at least by going to the cinema with him next time, I can be assured we are watching the same film. Now, you know, I thought, well, you know, typical of Nick Setchfield as features editor to actually print that one, Richard. But, you know, did you feel as though, because clearly you're a big fan of The Last Jedi, and I mean, let's do a quick round robin. Hannah, Last Jedi?
Yeah, I was a fan.
Yep, so okay for yourself. Tessa, probably haven't seen it as yet.
No.
No country music in you, see, Richard. And Barney?
No good for me. I'm not big on them.
So, but, you know, taking that line of things there, Michael Bartram also actually could have done with better editing. At least 30 minutes could have gone. The curiously entitled Who or Die on Twitter, it's obviously President of the United States, watchable, but a lot of it was pointless runaround and yet again ideas ripped from other films, in this case Empire. Some characters seem to have been built up in Force Awakens, then just tossed aside.
It's a little true.
Yeah. So now you've had time to reflect on the thing, and indeed the headliner on this one, which I can't find the actual quote, but this is the first Star Wars film where I walked away in disgust. I know. I know it's harsh, but I feel right of reply here. I mean, Richard, did you feel as though these people maybe... This is the trouble with fandom, you see. For everybody who actually turns around and says that The Good Place is the best science fiction series of this year, there are other people who actually turn around and say, what are you watching? What are your thoughts?
Well, The Good Place is fantastic, first of all. Yes. Absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. Yes, The Last Jedi is a weird one. I mean, when I saw it first, press screening, I thought, this is amazing. It was exactly what I wanted to see. You know, it was still Star Wars, but it was doing new things with it, which is, I think, Star Wars needs to do if it's going to keep going and survive. And, you know, much as I like The Force Awakens, it was a retread of the greatest hits, Star Wars. So I was actually quite surprised when, you know, all of, you know, when it opened and all fans were sort of like, oh, I hate this film. Having seen it a couple of times, I stand by it. You know, I completely stand by my 5-star review. I agree with, you know, I've said in the review, it's possibly slightly long, but, you know, it's weird. And it's very interesting to see how people want totally different things from a Star Wars film. You know, a lot of the things about throwing characters aside, but, okay, yeah, I can see that with Snoke.
Too many spoilers. This is true. But, you know, in terms of the whole system, it's just as well that in science fiction fandom there aren't ideas like, I don't know, having a female doctor that's going to split people in the same sort of line. And it's, you know, fortunately, we're science fiction fans. We're bigger than that, really. Hannah, you've had a chance to have a little perusal through those? Are there sort of lines where you think,
Well, I agree with some of the points. In fact, when I really enjoyed the second half of the film, and the first half was a little frustrating. But there's one.
Why was it frustrating, Hannah?
It seemed a little pointless because it ended up not really mattering to the overall plot. But at the end of the day, there's this one quote that's included in SFX that I completely agree with, and I think it's the most important thing when talking about reviewing films. And it's from Michael Van Kesteren, who said, "I don't particularly care what other people thought about it. I enjoyed it, and as far as I'm concerned, that's all that matters to me." And at the end of the day, if anyone enjoys the film, then that film has been successful in entertaining them. And I think that's what's most important. No one's ever going to agree on everything.
The insight of Hannah Brown, our Harwich heroine. Very much true. Listen, we talked about congratulations to the SFX team. I see Nick Setchfield has obviously got a new novel that is about to be opening up. Would you like to give him a plug, Richard, as a sort of in a companion-esque way? And thinking, well, Nick, he's been writing so many comic reviews over the years, and now he's actually got his genuine novel coming out as well.
He has. It's out in July. It's called The War in the Dark. It's a supernatural spy thriller, I hear it's very good. I am waiting for my copy because I'm desperate to read it. We're really excited about it. Because, you know, he's hard at work on the second now, we're all very proud of him. A lot of people start writing novels, not many people finish them, and even fewer get them published.
And just as the galaxy is proud of you, Richard Edwards, because it has to be said that when it comes to speed of response, Richard was straight back when one of our level 3 students, Krishna Chowan, actually was keen to actually find out about the role of the women in superheroes, and Richard straight back said, yes, no worries, let's talk about that. Whether Krishna gets around to doing the interview, I don't know, that's entirely up to herself.
She's a big fan, though, I know that.
Good. That's what we like to hear. 65 top authors are featured inside the SFX book issue. Celebration of the universe of books. Remember, of course, the SFX BookCon. I can't believe this, Richard. We're almost in the month when it's taking place. Only 24 days before SFX BookCon takes place at Foyles in Charing Cross Road. And you can meet up with top writers and a whole heap of other scenarios. Now, that just sounds awesome. Barney, you've had a chance to have a quick look through the magazine, or maybe not, because Hannah's hogging the whole system.
Sorry, I love books. I love science fiction. Yes. I'm looking at this going, I need to just write down all these down thing. I apologise for hogging the magazine.
You're forgiven.
Well, having hogged the magazine in a nice Hogwartian fashion, did that. She is actually secretary of the Hannah Prof Potter Appreciation Society, and Richard Edwards, Hannah's brother, is actually in the international Quidditch team.
Yeah. Wow. My brother is, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not the international Quidditch team. He was in the Premier League last year. He's trying out
this Saturday to be in the Eastern Mermaids this year. We're swapping teams.
The Eastern Mermaids.
Oh, it's all drama in the Quidditch Premier League. So a lot of last year's South East Knights are unhappy with the new manager.
Right.
So they're trying out for the Eastern Mermaids. So the Eastern Mermaids, who were bottom of the league in the Southern Division last year, could become one of the best teams in the league. It sounds like
a sports section is needed in the next edition of SFX magazine to cover the Quidditch scenarios of things. I mean, if the Eastern Mermaids are likely to be heading up through the whole system, that could just open up a whole new area of opportunity. Anyway,
well, we can always send out a rollerball reporter, you know.
Yeah, nice one.
Well, last year I live tweeted from the matches I attended.
Yeah. So, questions for Richard about the books, the lifestyle, the whole joy and wonderment that is actually SFX magazine.
So, how many of the books that are featured in the magazine have you personally read?
I have no idea.
They all tend to blend into one another after a fact. No,
I would say some, and there are so many mentions, and impossible to know. And you know, it's one thing. The pile of films you want to watch is long, and the pile of books I want to read is even longer. It's some, but I couldn't put a number on it.
Now, we've talked obviously about the traditional routines, but I have to mention yet again, because we've gradually been sifting through this whole process, the notion of The Good Place. It's now at the season 2 finale, and the question which is number one online at gamesradar.com with SFX is, can crazy smart Netflix comedy The Good Place confound and delight viewers again with its season 2 finale? Tessa, I suspect you've never checked out The Good Place, have you?
I haven't, no.
Oh, dear Lord.
I could do that.
You could, exactly. and Barney, you kind of...
Yeah, I've seen a bit of it, yeah.
The Good Place delights as an archetypal, upbeat United States sitcom, uniting the talents of Ted Danson, obviously from Cheers, Kristen Bell, forgetting Sarah Marshall, and creator Michael Schur from Parks and Recreation, but dazzles for different, less obvious reasons. Part philosophy, part fantasy, the show teases a career-best performance from Danson, a godlike architect who runs The Good Place, a spiritual realm where the best people go when they die. Richard, for so many years, I just thought that was the SFX offices in Bath, but clearly, this is just...
Well, they've stolen it, haven't they? Yeah, they nicked it.
I mean, because you actually were singing the praises of the good place, if I recall, in one of your raves a few months ago, actually, with SFX, and yeah, partly as a result, I thought, I must check this one out, actually. It just gets better and better, really.
It is. Now, I'm going to have to be uber careful about spoilers. Mm.
Oh, yeah. Are you good Janet or bad Janet? Where are you going to go here?
Oh, a little bit of both. Mm. I think the great thing about it is, that first of all, it's funny. It's funny, you know. It's laugh out loud funny quite a lot, but it's also really clever, and it twists and it does the things and it plays with its ideas. So it kind of got the best of both worlds. It's just a really good sitcom. And, you know, it's safe to say, I don't think there has ever been a sitcom like it.
Everything you might have enjoyed about the Big Bang Theory, or indeed My Favourite Martian, that's a long time ago, Mork and Mindy and so on, anything in terms of genre, I've got to say I tend to veer between Janet, probably good Janet, and Chidi as sort of my personal favourite likes in terms of the whole system. Although, who's your favourite character in The Good Place, Richard?
I'm a big Ted Danson fan. I think Ted Danson has always been amazing. So, you know, he was great in Cheers. There's Danson as Michael. Also, I think Kristen Bell's great as Eleanor, because I think she's just an interesting character. I mean, she kind of has to do the...
Eleanor Shellstrop.
...put it all together. Yeah.
And
I'm biased. My daughter's called Eleanor, so, you know.
Well, you see, exactly. But and she's still alive in The Good Place. Clearly, she's been born into Good Place. But Barney, you've had a chance to have a little quick flick through SFX magazine now. A quintessential delight of science fiction joys and wonderment. Any thoughts?
Well, actually, I've got a confession to make that I'm not a big sci-fi man.
That came across, Barney. Yeah. That came across. I understand that. It's all right. You're still here. We haven't booted you out. It's
I
okay.
gave a little preview, and unfortunately, it is closed on the desk now. But, you know, if I can be convinced otherwise to check anything out, I'm open to it. Yeah, so there
exactly,
you go.
Exactly. Tessa, questions that you'd like to put to the awesomeness that is Richard Edwards?
Well, I'm the same as Barney. I'm not a massive sci-fi fan, but in terms of the actual magazine here, I love the colours. They pop
shiny,
up.
Shiny colours. Pretty colours.
Who was the actual team behind the magazine? Was you part of that? Or was there quite a few other people involved?
In terms of the design, that's our art editor, John Coates, who takes the lead on that. So he makes it all look beautiful. Make sure all the photos go in the right places, we use the right pictures, make sure the covers look fantastic, make sure the typography work. So that's John. But I mean, it's a team effort. So we've got an editorial team who put everything together, and a production editor who makes sure it all fits and there aren't any spelling mistakes or as few as possible. And then we have a load of freelance writers as well who you know, correspondents all over the world who are seeing stuff.
Let's face it, SFX magazine without Tara Bennett, it's lacking a little bit, but that's okay. Is she going to be back with us soon? Because she seems to be, she's just sort of busily working in the States. Don't say she's gone to the good place, please, Richard.
Oh, she's still around. I spoke to her today, actually, so yeah, she's...
Because it's been
busy, I think, but yeah, she's around.
It's time we actually got Tara back on the show, and we will before too long. SFX, of course, available from all good news agents, as well as obviously online and a whole heap of other things. I do hope I can get to the 24th. If I can't, well, it'll be there in spirit in some way, shape, or form. But Hannah is now going to put those last two questions to you, Richard, because it's what she does.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have, yes.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, I hope so.
That's what we like, positivity, you see. It's good, so you see the force is with him. He's not a hologram. He's sorting things through. He's sitting cross-legged somewhere in Bath, just focusing on the goodness that's coming through there. Richard Edwards, we salute you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Nightingale, fortunes told by smoke from a lazy cigarette and the radio. It's playing Jailhouse Rock, and Elvis is alive, if only for a song, only for a song. In the blue light, basketball night, shooting hoops in the dark, bouncing through the cabbage patch and the radio is tuned into the news. Some big tank leaking well again. There's nothing we can do. Arrows at the moon.
Oh, we'll come back to Arrows at the Moon in a few moments with Paul Zoller. Every so often you kind of put coordinates down and various other sort of bits and pieces are put into place and you have numbers all written down on the system and you dial up and you think, that doesn't sound like Paul Zoller. No, it's Larry Nemechek. How are you, Larry Nemechek?
I'm fine. The transporter just kicked in here, and I'm not sure what
it's,
happened.
It's mirror Larry, mirror Paul, Lord, I know. We will listen to Arrows at the Moon. We'll listen more to Paul Zoller in a few moments, and we'll hopefully connect him with the number as well. But Larry, obviously telepathy bringing us through to Burr. Another awesome episode of the Trek Files was released this week, and it shows the predictive power of David Gerrold, who actually turns around and says, what happens, and I'll put this actually to Black Mirror watcher, even though he's not really a science fiction aficionado, and certainly not Star Trek, because it just wouldn't work. Barney Packer, what would you make if somebody actually approached you and said, we come in peace?
I'd believe him, and I'd say, brilliant, do's your luck.
There you have it, Larry. You know, the views of a soon-to-be public relations and journalism graduate, when the words that we come in peace are actually said, whatever, do as you like. You know, it's great stuff. Tessa?
I find it quite reassuring. At least they're not, like, holding a gun up to your face. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a good thing.
And Hannah?
I don't know. Many bad things have happened. I did watch the...
Battle of the Binary Stars.
part of Mars Attacks.
Well, that
I didn't make it all the way through, but I got to the point where someone was said we'd come in peace, and next thing I knew, a lot of people were dead.
It's a tough call, and if you happen to be Klingon, you might have actually got very irritated about that in every sense of the word. But it's another classic, and I have to say, if you haven't checked out the Trek Files, edition 2, volume 2 of the must-listen-to podcast, yay, even bigger and better than the awesomely wonderful Chilpak Hollywood Hour, which actually is now Chilpak 1 hour and 40 minutes, and it's just... I'm going to have words with Phil the Earth tomorrow morning. It's midnight in Los Angeles. But that's great stuff. Larry, is it getting better? Are we leading to a season finale? Have you been still enthused by Star Trek Discovery? Is it still floating your boat?
For me, yes. Obviously, yes. Yes, yes.
Excellent.
Because there's so many... some of the things I objected to about the show, not big enough not to watch, but with this mirror jumping and now time jumping... could still be resolved. So I'm waiting to see where they actually do wind up on the last frame of the last episode. It could be anywhere.
Exactly. And probably will be. Who knows, they might even end up in the Siren Studios, which is just quite awesome in every sense of the word. It's now time, whilst I actually sort of have to hustle around to actually find out where in the world is Paul Zollo, because obviously he's not on Larry Nemechek's number. Duh. Have you had a reasonably interesting mini telephonic link with us on the program today, Larry Nemechek?
I absolutely have.
Good. And are you able to join us next week for a slightly longer, more refined consideration of life, the universe, and various other factors, which I was going to email you about in any case earlier today? Will you be kind enough to return?
I am looking forward to it with bated breath, yeah.
You see, that's what we call a consummate professional, you see. Gets a random call when it's 10:30 a.m. in Los Angeles from somebody, you think, what's going on here? Here's George Harrison.
Yeah. my knees, looking for my life, looking for my life, looking for my life, looking for my life.
Well, the good news is we have a number for Paul Zollo, and even better news is we've also got Philip Herdwood online at present. How are you, Philip Herdwood?
I'm extremely well, and how are you?
We're excellent, and having to juggle a few bits and pieces around. Ever had one of those times in broadcasting history where you have a telephone number that's actually written down and you dial it and it's something completely different and then you think, oh, it's obviously not that person at all?
Oh, yeah, and you've just phoned a fax.
Yeah,
and it makes a silly noise.
Oh, well, you know, listen, the Barnaby, you've never heard of a fax machine, have you?
Fax machine, yeah.
Really?
Email, well, paper email, I think.
Paper email, Lord above.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is you still find companies that say, you know, give their list their telephone, big companies, yeah. And they list their telephone number and underneath a fax number, so you think, who the, on earth sends a fax?
Well, precisely. Who, when's the last, have you ever sent a fax, Hannah?
No, I mean, I know what a fax machine is, but I have never sent a fax.
Never.
I've attached things to emails like normal people.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Emails, so early part of the 21st century. What about yourself, Tessa? Are you a fax person?
No, not really. I'm the same as Hannah. Email.
Philip, I hesitate to say this, but I mean, that's probably one of the most incisive interview sessions we've actually done. Can we possibly come back to you maybe in a few moments from now, or possibly perhaps next week for a longer session? Because I'm conscious that our Los Angeles soul is kind of waiting at the other end of a line, and it's 10:35 in Los Angeles. And oh, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat? I'll be extraordinarily brief.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye, folks. See you soon.
Philip Herdwood will return, possibly this programme, but definitely in the next 7 days.
Julia was my best friend. I knew that I could count on him to pick me up when I was down. All the way through puberty, he told the oldest jokes to me. Walk through our little town. And he would walk like Groucho in the shade of the evergreens, humorous with slapstick and old radio routine. He was always so much funnier and smarter than we were. He was looking for a universe. Guess that he was only 9 on the winter that his mother died. That old house on Meadow Drive. He never could believe she'd pass away so far away and fast after being so alive. In the haunted architecture of candlewood and chrome, he'd live inside of every book that he could carry home. But he knew nothing in this world could take the place of her. Still he hoped to find a universal cure. He hoped to find a universal cure. Don't think it's a time for truce. They think that past
worn down like an old tombstone that is overgrown with weeds.
Absolutely awesome. The wonderful sound of Universal Cure. Your thoughts, Barnaby?
That was fantastic.
Sounds fantastic. You see, this is from one musician to another musician. We welcome Paul Zollo. How are you, Paul?
I'm very good, Alex. Very nice to be back with you. Excellent.
Well, we had a mild panic where, for a few moments on this program. You can listen again to the podcast. You'll find that we'd actually contacted Dr. Trek, Star Trek expert and guru Larry Nemechek, who was very pleasant, very positive, and we were delighted to feature Larry as ever. But clearly, he wasn't yourself, Paul. So a bit confusing there. And Philip Hurdwood. Well, bless him, as a voiceover artist, he just realised he had to go. You know, it's be back with Philip. Setting the scene, we have in the studio Barnaby Packer, who is a young musician who, as we said at the first part of the programme, I mean, Barney, you've been surrounded by musical instruments for quite some time, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, a lot of my life. Guitars, bass, piano, anything that gets chucked in the house, gets chucked in my hands.
And
yeah.
Where is your house? Where is your home?
Surrey in Guildford.
I see.
So I'm southern.
Hey, listen, Paul's over in California, so yeah, everything's relative. From
that's right, yeah.
It's all there. But what we're going to do now, Paul, if that's okay, is we're going to have another opportunity to listen to some of the music that Barney's actually produced together and have a sort of insight into the lines of that. If I was to, I mean, this could be like asking a singer-songwriter to choose between their children in terms of what I'm going to do. But I mean, I must admit, I do like the one we launched with today. I thought that was extremely good. But then again, you know, on your own, that was great. Gone was fantastic. Can't Stand the Weather, Boys and Girls. Which one are you going to offer for Paul Zollo to have a little perusal through and then decide? This could well be somebody who's going to be stepping into the footsteps of Stephen Stills, Paul Simon, John Sebastian, Herbie Hancock, Peter, Paul and Mary, Loretta Rynn, etc., etc.
Well, I'd encourage Mr. Zollo to check out the tunes on Spotify and such, as well as this. But
yes.
For ones that people haven't heard yet on Siren, let's go for One Day.
We're going to go for One Day. Any particular backstory that you'd like to share for One Day?
It's just about thinking that what you want is the ultimate thing and realising that when you're there, it's... It's not quite what you thought it was cut out to be.
Okay. Has that set the scene for yourself, Paul? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You were asked if you had the chance. Would you take it? No one remembers your name. Was it worth it? Now the tables have turned. Do you see it? Do you see it? So when it's in your hands, does it feel as good as you thought? I bet now you wish you hadn't tried it. When the lights go down and the curtains part, you feel like you should be crying. 'Cause I know what you're like. I can't wait. I can't wait. Do you feel it in the morning? Or do you feel it in your dreams? That feeling of waiting. A dreadful theme. I can see this means a lot to you. One day you'll be there, but you'll spend most your time losing your grip. And I know this sounds so, but you'll try your best, and that's never enough.
love never meant a lot to me.
One Day, Barney Packer. We like it, I think, Hannah. We like it.
Yes, I did.
It Tessa?
Did.
Absolutely fantastic.
Positive. Another round of applause then in the studio. Wow. And we also saw a little hearty hello to Joe Heal, who's online listening to us at present. We won't bring Joe in the near future. But at the end of the day, our opinion doesn't matter a hill of beans in this world when you've got the awesomeness that is Paul Zollo, who could have all sorts of lines to say about. But in fact, just set the scene, Barney, of how you kind of have done the whole thing. I mean, gone are the days of actually going to a studio, etc. Talk us through your process in terms of how you did that.
Yep. As a poor student, I was about 18 years old. I'm 21 now, so it's a few years ago.
Three English years.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Three
Ancient.
Of our English years.
Okay.
You know, I had no money to go into a studio, and so I decided to record everything you heard just then on an iPhone 5. And
Is that the future, Paul Zollo? The iPhone 5, other brands are available. Because, I mean, and what did you think of it, actually, in terms of what we were listening to? Obviously, it's not ideal listening to it over a telephone line, over 1,000 miles away in Los Angeles and so on. But what were your initial thoughts?
Well, I enjoyed it a lot. And it's true, it's hard to listen to a song on the phone, so I couldn't make out a lot of the lyrics, but I really enjoyed the music a lot. And I like that it's pretty. It's in D major with a D major seventh chord, which is a very pretty chord.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. That's a keen ear. That is impressive. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can even identify.
Actually, but I have my guitar right here, so I could check. I like that something pretty with a cool groove. It was a fast rock groove, which is great. It's something the Kinks did, or Aztec Camera, or even the Beatles. I think you probably know about them. But to me, that's a real great combination, a cool, pretty melody with a groove like that. But I wanted to kind of, I have to hear it a few more times before I figure out what parts are what. And it was hard for me to kind of get a complete grasp of the thing. But that's kind of the beauty of songs, that their charms reveal themselves slowly as we get to hear songs. We hear the music sometimes first, and as we get to know it better, we find out more about it. But there's a lot there, and I'm kind of amazed you got a recording that good on a phone. I know you could do that at home, but right on a phone.
Yeah, it was. Well, thank you for your kind words. I mean, Aztec Camera are a great band. Like them a lot.
Roddy Frame.
Yeah, exactly. Classic. So very kind. Thank you. And yeah, technology has helped me out a lot.
You've made a young man very, very happy indeed with those words, Paul Zollo. It's marvelous stuff. That.
There are a lot of people that are writing songs these days. Not everyone really knows what they're doing. You know, and a song takes a certain architecture and form and structure, and clearly you know what you're doing, so it was nice to hear.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much.
I think we'll squeeze in. We got very in mind that sometimes repeatability is good. I think we will feature Gone before we wrap
brilliant,
it, etc. Yeah. Let's actually just bring in, actually, as a guest for the next show, which is Sound and Country Vision, which, of course, Tessa, you're with from that point of view. Talk to us about who Joe Heal is and why we're pleased that he's connected via Skype as well.
Well, Joe Heal, we've had on Sound and Country Vision quite a few times now. He's become quite a good friend, and he's a professional drummer. He was part of the band Glasville, who were absolutely brilliant. They were the tribute band for ABC's Nashville, the show. But they have their own material too, and I think he's with us now.
Joe, are you actually there? Are you connected? Can you hear us?
I am, yes. Good evening. How are you both?
Marvellous. Well, you say both are actually four in the studio here, and of course, the fabulous Paul Zollo in Los Angeles. So we've thrown out that wonderful sort of vibe across the airways and so on. Paul, we mentioned about Nashville there. Was that a programme that floated your boat, or was it something which you thought, no, I'm more of a rock and kind of guitarist and so on, or singer-songwriter? Where do you sit on the whole sort of notion of the huge range of musical genres we have?
I love
love pretty much every genre. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of modern Nashville pop, which some people still call country. To me, it's very separate from country music. That's not my favorite kind of music, though there's a lot of music that comes out of Nashville itself that I love, and a lot of our greatest songwriters are there. I honestly didn't get to spend much of time with that television show because my time is often taken up with work and obsessing over our insane president and watching the news compulsively.
What's not to love, you know, when you got that? I mean, State of the Union address, of course, you know, didn't he make us feel proud? I say us, obviously, as members of the human race. Let's not go there. Tell you what, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, Paul, and also, Joe, if you can sort of stick around as well, because obviously you're on the next show as well, yeah, which is Sound and Country Vision, so that's critical. But we're going to indeed ask two five-hour Los Angeles, Paul, and indeed, I'm putting this out to Joe Heal. Where exactly are you, Joe? Are you actually up in are you in London or are you in Edinburgh?
I'm on West Coast. I'm in Glasgow.
You're in Glasgow. There we are. See, so neither Edinburgh. It's Glasgow. Yeah. So Glasgow, Los Angeles, Lincoln. It's a way of actually getting Barney Packers Gone into town. Let's head up to Glasgow first. Joe Heal, what did you make of Barney Packer's Gone?
Do you know, it's actually quite calming and relaxing, isn't it?
I just think it's what you need at the end of a very busy day. And in Los Angeles, where it's just the start of a busy day, as we're actually heading through to 11 a.m. Well, 5 to 11 a.m. in Los Angeles. What were your thoughts, Paul Zollo, on Gone?
I think that sounds absolutely remarkable, that arpeggiated guitar or whatever instrument that is reminded me like of great classic Robert Fripp stuff, really complex but beautiful and hard to execute. I'm kind of fascinated to find out how he did that.
How did you do it, Barney?
I wrote it when I was about 17, that one. I was messing around on a loop pedal and just played a pentatonic scale on a guitar, like I think it was a Strat or something like that, and on the loop pedal, just press the reverse button and laid them on top of each other, and that's the riff. Simple as that.
Ah, that's great. Yeah, I thought it was guitar. It's an E major, which is the classic guitar key. And yeah, that sounds great. Are you a Fripp fan? Do you like Robert Fripp?
Yeah, I mean, I've not listened to him enough, to be honest. I really should get involved, but I mean, yeah, I'll check him out some more.
He did a lot like that. Arpeggiated guitar is real complex with melodies on top of them. It's a very cool sound, and few people have ever really got that spirit like that.
Oh, well, that's very kind. Well, there's plenty more on Spotify if you type my name in there. Here you go.
Barney Packer. Barney. It's been wonderful connecting with your good self today. Joe Heel staying with us, obviously, for sound and contribution. But thank you, Joe, for being part of the Midweek Drive, unexpectedly, but we wanted to check the system was working, so that's good. We're going live with sound and contribution in a few moments from now. Paul Zollo, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Absolutely. Always a joy. I love being with you.
Well, in which case, we're going to have a longer session and more reflection in the very near future, hopefully a couple of weeks or so from now, all being well. Barney, your first show, you've gone from Women in the Arts right the way through poetry, William Coles in Edinburgh, Anna Lewis in Jersey, and Laura Willoughby on the Mindful Drinking Movement, and, of course, SFX Magazine. Has it been okay for you? Is it what you expected? Has that 2.5-year wait been worthwhile?
I feel enlightened and a better person, so, yeah, not bad.
Good answer.
Not bad.
Excellent. And Hannah, have a great birthday. We'll have a post-birthday celebration for you next week. You've got a mug. I can tell you what the prize is, so it's there.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it.
It's all right. Sort
I
of
do
thing.
Love a good mug.
Another quote, not quite as strong as Tessa's early one of the day, but, you know, it's all held on.
I just can't compete with Tessa's fairly, quotes
fairly quality stuff. So, Tessa, you're going to be sitting around for Sound and Country Vision, which comes up in a matter of seconds from now, actually, as far as we're concerned here on Sound Radio. Paul, we will speak with you again very, very soon. We've got the news coming up from the Sky News Centre. To the aforementioned Tessa Snott, Hannah Brown, Barney B. Packer, Anna Lewis, William Coles, Emma Tapper, Laura Willoughby, Richard Edwards, Paul Zollo, and very briefly, Philip Hurdwood and Larry Namicek. Many thanks indeed. I think we could probably actually go out with a little riff of that sort of authentic Barney Packer stuff to see us through up to the news. What the hey? Can we all say Auf Wiedersehen? Farewell.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye for now.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Have you in a chokehold? A chokehold.